Hello and welcome to my podcast. This is Anthony Rojo, and my podcast centers around effective teaching practices. And today I'm actually going to reflect on having high expectations for your students as a teacher. And this actually comes about because of a podcast that was sent to me by a teacher at my school, John Mar Heineke, who I actually hope to have on my podcast next week as a guest. And he sent me a podcast. There was a UCLA professor who unfortunately passed away this past August. His name was Mike Rose. And it was labeled The Deepest Meanings of Intelligence. And it was actually on a podcast hosted by Krista Tippett. So I want to make sure I give credit there. And the podcast was interesting. Before I dive into certain elements of that podcast, let me revert back or reflect back to what I mean by high expectations in the classroom. And I'm sure this is something that every teacher will say they have, right? Every teacher is going to say they have high expectations for their students, and I'm not doubting that. But it's not only about having high expectations for your students. It's about giving them a step ladder to achieve the expectations you hold for them. And a lot of teachers don't fully understand that or don't put that into practice. Too many teachers have this sink or swim mentality, right? So think of it as a swimming pool. And yes, I have high expectations, but they throw all the kids into the deep end of the swimming pool. And who can ever swim will survive their class, and who can't fails. And that, to me, is not effective teaching. If you want to be an effective teacher, it's giving the kids the necessary tools and support to ensure that they can have success in your classroom. Now, this can take on a lot of different forms, and this is something that I definitely want to probe with John next week. One of the things I will throw out right now to help both new teachers and seasoned teachers is using a variety of teaching modalities or instructional modalities to help your kids learn best, right? So it might be visuals, which for me, I usually show a movie for every unit that I have in U.S. history to have them see something on the big screen that relates to things that we've talked about in class. It could be a PowerPoint, but even within the PowerPoint, trying to make it interactive with the class so that you're giving them an opportunity to actively participating with the information versus just writing it down as notes, which can lead to a very passive process for them that leads to them not fully understanding the material. Another thing that I do that I mentioned in a previous podcast would be my TPRs, total physical response, bringing the kids up to class, giving them a question or a statement, and having them physically divide up to the side they most agree with, and then debate the topic, again, related to a movie that we're watching or a concept in class that we're discussing. So doing different things as a teacher is one way to help your students reach your expectations versus focusing on one teaching modality. So that's important. And again, it's something that I want to delve into a little bit deeper with John next week. What I want to look at for this episode as it relates to high expectations is tracking. And it's something that was a lot more obvious back in the day, but it still exists today in our schools. And if you're not familiar with tracking, it's where certain students, especially when they get to junior high, but more specifically high school, are either put on a college prep track, heading off to college, or they are put on a vocational track where they are taught skills that will allow them to enter the workforce upon completing high school. And there's a few things I want to talk about that are important, first for the placement of students in these two tracks, but also the way we perceive these different tracks, which was touched upon by Mike Rose, the professor at UCLA, in that podcast that I had mentioned. So when it comes to high expectations and this tracking system, What I want teachers to consider, but also this would be something for schools in general to consider, is how we perceive certain students and then how that leads to either high expectations, putting them on a college prep track, or low expectations of them and then feeling like they're only built or made for vocation or a vocational track. Now, let me clarify something. This is not to demean those that are in a vocational track. There is a lot of dignity in doing work that many people might consider uneducated. And there's a lot of skill that's involved. So I don't want anybody to get the wrong idea about what point I'm making here. I understand the value of that work and how it does require a high level of intelligence despite the perceptions. Look, let me give you an example. We were fortunate enough to build the house that I live in from the ground up. And it took 3 years. I didn't know hardly anything. I just followed the lead of my father and my cousin, who was the contractor or the carpenter. He had the carpentry skills. And so he essentially, you know, knew how to read blueprints and was able to essentially direct us in how to build this home. Now, he was a fireman in his day job, but this is a skill that he had picked up when he worked with his father, my uncle, before he became a fireman. And it was in that time that I totally came to appreciate the intelligence of people that do construction. Both my father's level of intelligence, who, when you see him outside of that realm, he might not always strike you as quote unquote intelligent, but in that realm, he was incredible, as was my cousin. And so I definitely understand how much intelligence it takes to build a house or to do plumbing, electrical work, all these other things. And yes, I know those require years of training. You have to be an apprentice before you become a journeyman. And so there is some formal training. But my point being is that oftentimes we don't see people in those fields as quote unquote intelligent, and yet they have vast amounts of intelligence. And that's what Mike Rhodes was talking about. He even looked at a waitress and all the things that, or a waiter and all the things they have to memorize and where the food goes. And his mother, what he shared in the podcast, had been a waitress. And so he had firsthand experience of seeing the vast amount of intelligence that she would express on a daily basis as a waitress. So the other example I would give you, like when I was in high school, I definitely looked down on kids that were on the vocational track. I had this arrogant sense of who I was because I was going to college. Now that I've gotten older, I realized, yeah, but a lot of those kids that went on to become mechanics, right, that got introduced to working on cars in high school, not only does that take a lot of intelligence to work on cars, but how smart it is to be able to do your own work on your car. I mean, how many people out there know how expensive it is to fix a car? It gets extremely expensive. That's another thing we don't always think about, right? We think about like the money a lawyer makes or a doctor makes, but mechanics, number one, they make good money, but they also save themselves a lot of money when they need work done on their vehicle because they can do it themselves. And that's something that I didn't understand and visualize when I was growing up. And also usefulness. We can sometimes see the usefulness of a doctor or a lawyer and how they are integral to society. But mechanics are equally integral to our society, given the vast amount of people that use cars. And so there's just a lot of things that can get lost. These nuances about a college prep track and a vocational track and what that means and how they're perceived. And again, I just want to make sure that it's very clear that I understand the intelligence that it takes to carry out these professions. There's a lot of dignity in these professions. They bring a lot of value to the society in these professions. And that needs to be acknowledged. It needs to be something that we are willing to say, hey, these professions deserve the recognition that they oftentimes do not receive, that we lavish on doctors and lawyers. We need to change how we understand those professions. One thing I want to mention about this notion of unskilled work that we can hold about certain professions that I think would be important for anybody to check out. There's a really good video on YouTube, and it's titled What Everyone Gets Wrong About Farm Work, and the producer's name is AJ Plus. But he basically goes out and works in the field with these experienced farmers, many of them migrant workers, to demonstrate how actually skilled they really are. That to do their work as fast as they do it requires a high level of skill that we oftentimes can ignore. So I would invite everybody to check that out. But the other issue that I want to look at is how we place kids in these tracks. And as teachers, how we can allow our implicit biases to affect our understanding of who these kids are and lead us to not value them as college prep oriented kids. And that's something that's plagued our educational system for the longest time. And it's something that we still have to work on. And you get a lot of students of color, a lot of low-income kids that are not given an opportunity to go on to college because of the perceptions of them. Obviously, there's other reasons why they get put in lower tracks. It could be standardized testing that is an issue. And that's another problem that we need to talk about, is how standardized testing is just not the most accurate way to determine whether or not somebody belongs in a particular class. So I understand there's a wide variety of reasons why kids get tracked. But my point being is that we can't ignore our expectations of students based on our implicit biases that also contributes to this problem. And it leads me to think about how you get so many students of color that are essentially pushed out of the school system and go on to do things in the illegal realm that clearly demonstrates that if they have been given an opportunity to take college prep courses and go on to college, they could have turned out to be amazing CEOs, entrepreneurs, a variety of things that we look up to. Think about, for example, the Mexican Mafia. Those individuals that started the Mexican Mafia in the 1960s, they didn't even finish high school, and yet they created this massive, powerful organization that today allows the generals, the individuals that sit at the top of the Mexican Mafia, and they're locked up for life, and yet they generate so much income that they can send their kids to college and pay for it entirely from behind bars. Now, I'm not applauding the way they've made their money. That's not the point. It's not, there's no way I would applaud murder and the sale of drugs. That's not the point. And I think people can lose sight of the skills and the qualities that it takes to do what they're doing would easily translate into the legitimate world, into running an actual corporation. And yet, my point being is that these guys were never given that chance. It was deprived of them. Again, part of it's tracking. Part of it is just the K-12 system is atrocious, especially in low-income areas. I mean, there's a lot of reasons why. But overall, it's just expectations of these kids is not high at all. And so they're thrown away, and yet they go on to demonstrate amazing qualities in ways that ends up getting them in trouble and incarcerated. But if we take a hard look at the qualities they do possess, it should make us really question not just the schooling system, but why don't we value them more for what they bring into the classroom? I mean, we just have such a narrow way of perceiving these kids, and we need to expand that. So as teachers, I would encourage you to reflect back on one of my earlier podcasts about your own implicit biases and how race affects how you interact with your students. It's not just about the success they experience in your classroom. It's also about what we think they're capable of achieving or not achieving. And we need to rethink that in order to give these kids a true chance at greatness. In the end, I want to make sure that if kids go in the vocational track, it's not because of preconceived notions of them or lowered expectations. Again, I understand the value of that work. I think some kids thrive in that type of work, and I'm not saying we should do away with a vocational track. But the history of the educational system and even contemporary research clearly indicates that the problem is they're not given a choice. The kids that display vast intelligence with respect to college prep material, or at least could, I should say that, that they, if given the chance, they would thrive in that college prep track. They're not given that opportunity. They're just pigeonholed and put in a vocational track. So that's really what I am arguing here when it comes to expectations. Like, let's have high expectations of all our students and make sure that those that want to go in a college prep track are given that opportunity, and that we don't shortchange their dreams because of how we perceive them. There's a great movie called Walkout. It's based on the late 1960s when students in East LA, the five East LA schools, walked out of their school to protest the schooling conditions. It was primarily Mexican-American kids. First time that the Mexican-American community had protested en masse in large numbers, and it was led by high school kids. And I'm bringing that up because if you watch the movie, one of the things that it focuses in on is tracking and how many of them weren't given a choice. They were just told by their counselors to take a vocational track or classes. And so, and that's something that, again, still plagues us today. And it's something we need to rethink and definitely change. So I'm hoping that there is a clear connection between this notion of high expectations and tracking and how we can do better as schools, administrators, counselors, and teachers. And I appreciate you being here again to listen to this podcast. I hope it was beneficial and educational. And I look forward to expanding on additional topics. Again, I'm hoping that I can have John Moore Heineke on with me next week, and him and I will explore high expectations in the classroom and things that he does to try to make sure that his kids are meeting his expectations, but in a way that supports and encourages them. So look forward to that. Have a great rest of your day. Please take care of yourself out there, and I will talk to you soon. Have a good day.